live in San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, or Mountain View, you'll soon be able to borrow and return bikes at kiosks in different locations to improve your commute, run errands, or just ride around town. On today's Your Call, we're talking about bike sharing. The Bay Area Quality Management District is implementing the $7 million pilot program, starting with 70 stations. Bike sharing is already popular in Europe and several cities like D.C., Boston, and Denver. So what questions do you have about bike sharing, and how will this affect the way we get around? Join us after the news.
BBC News with Ian Purton. The jailed Kurdish militant leader Abdullah Öcalan has called a ceasefire in the three-decade-long fight for Kurdish self-rule in southeastern Turkey. In a message relayed from his island prison, he also announced the withdrawal of PKK rebels from Turkish territory. The Turkish Prime Minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, welcomed the ceasefire, but he said the crucial part was its implementation. James Reynolds reports.
Recep Tayyip Erdogan described the PKK leader's declaration as a positive development. But what really matters, said the Prime Minister, is the extent to which it's actually implemented. Mr. Erdogan added that if the PKK ceased its armed actions, then the Turkish military would do the same. But three decades of conflict do not end with a single declaration. It's not immediately clear when the retreat of thousands of PKK fighters from Turkey to the mountains of northern Iraq will take place, nor is it clear whether or not the PKK will ultimately choose to disarm.
President Obama has told the Israeli people that Israel can only endure and thrive as a Jewish and democratic state through the realization of an independent and viable Palestine. Addressing students in Jerusalem in the major set-piece event of his first official visit, Mr. Obama said Israel was at a crossroads and must reverse an undertow of isolation.
Your voices must be louder than those who would drown out hope. Your hopes must light the way forward. Look to a future in which Jews and Muslims and Christians can all live in peace and greater prosperity in this holy land. Believe in that.
Mr. Obama said Israelis should put themselves in Palestinian shoes and see things through their eyes. Earlier, during a visit to the West Bank, President Obama said the Palestinians and Israelis needed to restart direct peace talks despite their disagreements. At a joint news conference with the Palestinian President, Mahmoud Abbas, Mr. Obama said Israeli settlement activity did not advance the cause of peace, but that such obstacles should not be an excuse to do nothing. Rebels in the Central African Republic say they've seized two towns in the north of the country a day after the expiry of an ultimatum they issued the government. Here's Mary Harper.
The chief of operations from the Seleka rebel movement told the BBC the towns of Buka and Batangafu had been taken. He said the rebels would move on the capital Bongi, by foot or in pickup trucks. It seems the government's decision to free political prisoners and lift a curfew, both of which were part of Seleka's demands, were not enough to satisfy the rebels. Last year, they swept down from the north, seizing several key towns. They stopped about 100 kilometres from the capital.
World News from the BBC. The United Nations has, for the first time, set up a commission of inquiry into human rights abuses in North Korea, which it says may amount to crimes against humanity. The investigation could lead to action at the International Criminal Court following charges that North Korea uses torture, food deprivation, and vast labour camps for political prisoners. The North Korean representative said the inquiry was a political manoeuvre by hostile forces. The new spiritual leader of the Church of England and worldwide Anglican Communion has been enthroned in Canterbury Cathedral. As dictated by tradition, the new archbishop had to knock three times on the door of the cathedral to gain admittance. A young member of the congregation then questioned him to find out who he was and why he had come.
We greet you in the name of Christ. Who are you? And why do you request entry?
I am Justin, a servant of Jesus Christ, and I come as one seeking the grace of God to travel with you in his service together.
Justin Welby's inauguration as the 105th Archbishop of Canterbury included the traditional oath sworn on a Bible more than 1,000 years old, but also African dancers and Punjabi musicians. In his first sermon, Archbishop Welby said there was every possible reason for optimism about the future of the Christian faith in the world. Finally, new satellite images mapping the earliest moments of the universe have revealed that it's older than we thought. The results have pushed the age of the universe back marginally to 13.8 billion years. They also show anomalies in cosmic background radiation that do not match those predicted by physics. BBC News.
Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Bike sharing is coming to the Bay Area in August. If you live in San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, or Mountain View, you'll be able to borrow and return bikes at kiosks in different locations to improve your commute, run some errands, or just get around. The Bay Area Quality Management District will implement the $7 million pilot program, starting with 700 bikes at 70 stations. Roughly half of those will be in the northeast quadrant of San Francisco, where the highest density of people commute daily to work. So here's how it works. You sign up for a membership for as much a year or as little as a day. You get a special key that unlocks bikes parked at kiosks throughout the area. You ride the bike to your destination, lock it up at the nearest kiosk, and the first 30 minutes of any ride is free. So for short trips, this could be a zero-cost mode of transit around town. Bike sharing is already a popular model in other cities across the country and around the world. It kicked off in Europe, and then it spread to North America. And today, there are bike sharing programs in several U.S. cities, including Washington, D.C., Boston, Minneapolis, and Denver. So what have we learned so far about how bike sharing programs work, and how could they ultimately improve the quality of life in a city? What questions do you have about bike sharing? And if you've ever used it, what do you like about it? Today, we're joined by Heath Maddox, senior planner in the Livable Streets subdivision of the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency. Heath manages the SMTA's bicycle sharing and parking team, leading the city's efforts to launch a bike sharing pilot later this year. For the past 12 years, Heath served as a bicycle and pedestrian planner for local and regional government agencies, and he joins us in studio. Hi, Heath. Thanks for coming in. Did not have citizenship. Great to have you. Whoops, sorry about that. And we're joined by Chris Holbin, Bike Share Program Manager for Washington, D.C.'s Department of Transportation. He spent the last 10 years with the department working on bicycle projects, including trail design and construction and bike parking. Chris launched and operated the district's piece of the Capital Bike Share Program, which launched in 2008. And he joins us from D.C. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. Do we have Chris? We'll connect with him in just a couple minutes. Well, Heath, why don't we start off with you? I took part in a bike sharing program in Barcelona last year and loved it. Every time we went out, we rode a bike. So for people who don't know how this works, though, I kind of talked about how it works in the intro, but why don't you paint us a picture?
Well, the best analogy I use, most people are familiar with car sharing now, is that it's like car sharing except for with bikes. And the other crucial difference would be that you can do point-to-point trips, whereas most car sharing programs, you have to return the car to the place that you checked it out. So like car sharing, it's membership-based. People can also get day-use memberships, so you don't have to be a monthly or an annual or a three-day member. But once you're a member, as you mentioned in the introduction, the first 30 minutes, depending on how it's structured, is usually free.
And so who's behind this program? Who's making the decision about where to put the program, how many bikes should we have, and how many kiosks there will be?
Well, so in San Francisco, it would be me and my agency and my team, but we're part of a much larger regional pilot, which is being led by the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. It's funded by the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and we have local partners all up and down the Caltrain corridor between here and San Jose. But in San Francisco, it's really me and my team working together with our community partners to figure out where we can put these things.
And this is a $7 million pilot program.
Yeah, we have like about a $4.3 million grant from the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. And then the Air District itself is pitching in another $1.5 million of their own funding. And then all the local partners are bringing their like local match to the table. So it all adds up to about $7 million to start.
And Chris Holbin, are you with us?
I am.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. We just dropped you accidentally. So you are the Bike Share Program Manager for Washington, D.C.'s Department of Transportation, and the Capital Bike Share Program launched back in 2008. How were you all able to get this up and running 4 years ago?
Sure. And actually, Capital Bike Share launched in September of 2010. We had a previous system called Smart Bike that started in 2008, ran for 2 years at a very pilot stage of just 10 stations with 100 bikes. We realized we wanted to go much bigger, so we actually went with a new system in 2010, and with a grant from the federal government and in partnership with Arlington County, Virginia, we were able to start with 100 stations and 1,000 bikes.
And so you've got 100 stations now and 1,000 bikes. Talk a little bit about what happened when the program first kicked off, and what are you seeing today? What changes have you seen over the years?
So we started with 100 stations, and we're up to 199 as of today, and next week we'll be installing our 200th. So in 2.5 years, we have doubled in size. And really, from that first day, it's been a wash of red bikes throughout the district and Virginia. People have really picked them up and have used them for lots of different types of trips, and it's really raised the presence of cycling in D.C.
And how do you think it changes the way people feel about biking?
Well, I think the beauty of bike sharing is that they're everywhere in the city. We and just like San Francisco and the other jurisdictions in California will be probably installing them as far-reaching as they can. So they're in different types of neighborhoods, whether it's a commercial or residential employment. We're on the National Mall. So it allows people to understand that biking, you can bike anywhere, and it's easy, and it's fun.
And what do you hear from people? I'm trying to get at this because we do bike shows, and some people call and say, you know, my commute is just too long, therefore mm-hmm. I don't want to bike. But it seems like, at least when I was in Barcelona, I talked to people about it, and they said it completely changed the way they look at biking because they could take it on short trips. They don't have to be responsible for it all day. It just changed the whole perception of what it means to be on a bike in a city.
You really nailed it on the head there. Is you can take short trips, you can go one way. I go to pick up my kids at school, and then we walk home because they're too small to ride on the bike. But I can do my half a trip that way. Or people ride to the metro station and then go further to work or vice versa on the way home. Or if it's rainy in the morning, you take the train, and then in the afternoon it's sunny, you can bike. It's always there when you want it. It's really nice.
That is Chris Holbin. He's Bike Share Program Manager for D.C.'s Department of Transportation, and they are about to launch their 200th bike station in Washington, D.C. And now I would like to welcome Kit Hodge to the show. Kit is Deputy Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Kit has a long and successful history of leading campaigns for more livable streets. Hi, Kit. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So talk a little bit about what's planned for the Bay Area. And also, it's so interesting because over the years, we've done so many shows about biking. And I know that you all often have people on Market Street counting the number of people going up and down Market Street. And the numbers have just exploded over the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Biking has just truly increased over the last few years, about 71% actually over the last 5 years. It's definitely huge and growing every day. You see it every day on streets like Market Street. What we know also is that even though bicycling is already growing, many more people do want to ride, and sometimes they have obstacles that prevent them from being able to do so using their own bike. And so we're really excited about bike share coming to the Bay Area, and San Francisco in particular, as a way to really open up the joy of biking to everyone in San Francisco, while also increasing business and relieving crowding on Muni, which we know is a big issue. So the Air District, which is a sort of a local government authority, is working with a few different transit agencies in the region to launch a bike share system this August, and it'll feature about 700 bikes around the region. That's including in San Francisco and then down the peninsula in Palo Alto, San Jose, Redwood City, and another city. So the idea there is to create more ability to get up and down the Caltrain corridor in particular with combining Caltrain and biking.
Well, I'd like to throw out the number because we're already getting a few emails. If you have participated in bike sharing programs in the past, what has your experience been like? What do you think of this pilot program that's going to launch in August? It's a $7 million pilot program. We're talking about San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View. What questions do you have, and how do you think bike sharing will change the way that we look at public transportation and the way that we interact with biking and the way we get around? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website in it's yourcallradio.org. We've got an email from Sharon in Redwood City who writes, "I love the idea of bike sharing. We saw it in Paris and thought it was a great idea. But there was no way we would try biking anywhere, especially in a crazy urban environment without helmets. Many Europeans do not wear helmets, but what will we be doing here? If helmets are not provided, and it seems to be a logistical nightmare to do so, then is this promoting the practice of biking without protecting our brains?" Heath, what are your thoughts on that? And will helmets be provided?
Helmets can't really practically be provided with every bike, but we are actually just yesterday we took receipt of our first sample helmet. We are going to be doing something similar to what is DDOT and Capital Bike Share have done, is provide helmets to members at a subsidized rate. And we also will provide, we're looking to providing coupons for people to get a helmet. Helmets are cheap. There's no difference functionally between a $5 helmet and a $125 helmet. It's really just a matter of getting them in the hands of people who need them. We can't practically require helmet use for using the bikes in the system. So, as an agency that does transportation planning and engineering and rolls out the facilities, the onus on us too is to create streets that feel and are safe for people to ride bikes as well.
Chris, how have you dealt with this in D.C.?
Very similar to what Heath was saying. We do also we sell helmets to members as you sign up for a membership. We've also worked with hotels to provide helmets to their guests. They typically buy one-day memberships from us and then give them to their guests as a benefit to the hotel. And then we provide helmets for them to use as sort of a helmet library within each hotel, and it's been very successful. I'll also say that I'm looking at my stats here. Over 3,700,000 rides, we've had about 60 reported crashes and no fatalities. So over 2.5 years, that's quite a lot of cycling, much safer than our normal crash rate for regular bike riders.
So you've had 700,000 rides?
3 million.
3.7 million.
But Chris's point is a good one, and the statistics are borne out in other cities too, where actually, perhaps counterintuitively, bike share customers are safer than the average cycling population at large.
So 3.7 million rides since the project in D.C. was piloted in 2008 and then rolled out in 2010. That's a lot of rides. Well, thank you for the email. And we've got another email from a listener who says, what kind of bikes will be in the fleet?
Oh, so in the Bay Area, we're going to have bikes that are virtually the same as the ones in the Capital Bike Share system, also in Minneapolis and in Melbourne and in London and soon to be in New York City and Portland and Seattle. It's a bike which is was originally developed in Montreal for the Bixi system there. They are custom designed and built from the ground up as public bike share bikes. They're sort of unisex, one size fits all, very robust. They have baskets, they have lights, we're going to have 7 internal speeds on our bikes. All the parts are installed with hardware that's unique, and even if you could get it off, you wouldn't merely be able to put it on another bike or sell it. So, and it's part of a system where the bikes fit into these stations. And for me, when I first learned of this system several years ago, when I was just had gotten the job, I was most excited about the stations because the Bixi system and now the B-Cycle system, which is in Denver, are unique in that they're designed and built from the ground up to be solar portable and modular. So the stations where you lock up the bikes don't require any excavation or external AC power hookups. And if we decide they need to be bigger, it's like Legos. We just add another platform or we move it across the street. So that's super exciting.
And who decides where to put the kiosks?
Well, It's a community decision. I'll say that my team is doing the planning and engineering around it, but a lot of them are we're planning to put them on the sidewalk. A lot of them are going to go in the parking lane, and it's just like work that my team does right now with what we call on-street bicycle parking corrals or parklets. It's not just like that. There's slight differences, but basically we're not going to put one in front of somebody's business who doesn't want one. So working very closely with the community on that.
Okay. We'd love to have one in front of the station because for some of us, we have to take three buses to get here, and it'd be great if we could take a bike for part of it.
Yeah. Your hill is pretty steep.
I know. Well, it's great exercise. But I was thinking about that. If I took one of these to work and had it for 5 hours, can you do that? I mean, could I bring it into the station?
It wouldn't be affordable because past a half an hour, you would start to accrue these half-hourly fees. And so the idea is really short trips, you lock the bike up and you keep it in circulation. So for starters, you would need to make those trips within a stone's throw of our service area, which is really going to be focused between Van Ness and Market and the Embarcadero, sort of spreading out through south of Market and into the financial district.
Okay.
Union Square.
That is Heath Maddox. He's senior planner in the Livable Streets subdivision of the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency. He also manages the bike sharing and parking team, leading the efforts to launch this bike sharing pilot this year. Kit Hodge is deputy director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition and has a long history of leading campaigns for more livable streets. Chris Holben is bike share program manager for D.C.'s Department of Transportation. He launched and operated the district's piece of the Capital Bike Share Program, piloted in 2008, rolled out officially in 2010. They're almost at 200 stations, and since then, they've had 3.7 million rides. And if you live in San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, or Mountain View, starting in August, you will be able to borrow and return bikes at kiosks in different locations around your city. So if you have any questions about this, what are your thoughts about a program like this? How do you think, or when you hear about this, how does it change your opinion about biking and about public transportation and about getting around? We'd love to hear from you.
So, Rose,
Let me just get about the number. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you've taken part in bike share programs, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website so others can see it at yourcallradio.org. Go ahead, Heath.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Just for quick clarification, it's really not just for people who live in any of the host cities. It's for anybody who visits the city for whatever reason. You could live here,
right,
work here, just be visiting for the day.
So if you're in these cities,
correct,
you can take part in,
yeah,
the program. All right. We've got a number of callers on the line, so let's go to Laura in Emeryville. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. And I'm a freelance writer, and I've actually been writing about bike sharing recently and actually interviewed Chris Holben recently. Hi, Chris, for an article for Momentum about Momentum Magazine about equity in bike sharing. And so I wanted to ask about that, and I actually think I'm doing final edits, and I actually think I have a fact wrong because I had heard that the San Francisco system was going to be accessible by Clipper Card. And I'm wondering, do you need a credit card to access it? What about siting of those stations in different neighborhoods so that different communities can have access to the bikes? And I know D.C. has done a lot of great work on increasing accessibility and equity of access.
So in response to the Clipper Card question, the technology that we're getting is compatible with Clipper. So moving forward, that won't be a problem. But starting out, you won't be able to use your Clipper Card to access the system. Aside from the technology, there are a whole lot of organizational and practical and really political barriers that need to be overcome before that is rolled out. Clipper took decades to integrate within the transit system in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, the Clipper Card is what we use to get around the bus or the BART. So, okay, well, thank you for that. And we've got a related question about cost from Harry in San Francisco. Hi, Harry. Welcome to the show.
Hi, yes. First of all, I wanted to say that calling this car sharing is absolutely Orwellian. This is a bike rental, and it's benefiting a private entity. Now, $7 million could give 3.5 million free rides on Muni. People bike in the city because Muni is so terrible. I think that's why there's such an increase. That's one large reason. And a huge amount of money that seems unjustifiable to me is spent on converting roads to bike lanes, whereas I think more simpler alternatives should have been considered. I don't understand how that's going to make back $7 million. And also,
well,
what
hold
is
on,
membership
Harry,
fee?
Stay on the line. Harry, hold on. I just want to address that point and stay on the line. So, Kit, do you want to address that point? Harry thinks this sounds wildly expensive.
Actually, it's not. And if you look at the MTA's capital budget right now, actually only spends 0.046% of its budget right now on biking, which is a very, very small amount. So while we absolutely agree that Muni needs to be improved, and we fully support that, a very, very small money right now is being spent on biking. This program is actually a very cost-effective way to help many more people, help actually Muni and other transit systems by relieving crowding and also improving safety on the street for everyone.
What would you add to that, Heath?
I would say she's right. Absolutely. Comparatively, this is a very affordable mode of transit, even compared to other transit modes, like, say, the Central Subway project. And then certainly compared to building roads and freeways, this is pennies in the bucket.
Harry? Are you still with us? Did we drop Harry? Oh, sorry about that, Harry. He wanted to also know, what is the membership fee for this? How much will it cost?
So we haven't definitively set them in the Bay Area, but our response is generally that it won't be that different than what's being done elsewhere. So it'll be somewhere on the order of $75 to $85 for an annual membership, somewhere between probably $5 and $7 for a day membership. And then there could be monthly or, you know, 3-day memberships in between at various different levels.
All right. Harry, are you back?
I think that's absolutely absurd. $85, that's more than it costs for a membership. It's a De Young, for example. And I think, you know, $5 to $7 a day. There already are bike rails for tourists, people who already have a bike, if they want to, you know, if I don't understand how $7 million is not a lot of money. You know, if you count, you know, when they're complaining about low-income passes for youth is $7 million, and Scott Wiener claims it's a waste of money, it's obvious it's a significant amount of money to somebody. And if this program fails, who's going to take the brunt of the expenses? I mean, as far as this Parklet program goes, they definitely put those in front of businesses who don't want them, because I've seen that happen. And I think that there needs to be a clear notification project, and also this seems like it's going to take up quite a bit of sidewalk space. I don't think this is necessary. And I think, you know, it seems to me that Zipcar, which is now owned by Avis, for example, gets the subsidy on these parking spaces that they're getting from the city.
So just addressing the affordability, $85 a year for a membership, and then you divide that by 365. I can't do that in my head right now. I'm too old for that. But and then every trip you take on the bike, if it's under 30 minutes, which research has shown, or statistics show in other cities, that the annual members, like 90% of them, keep their trips under 30 minutes. Those 30-minute trips are free. There is not a single other mode of transportation that is that affordable except for walking yourself.
Harry, what I was going to is just the tremendous popularity in other cities that we've seen. It's true, it's an unproven thing so far here in San Francisco and the Bay Area, but pointing at other cities, you've mentioned Paris, you've mentioned D.C., Mexico City, Montreal, and the list goes on and on. All kinds of places have really seen this just take off like crazy. And people who ride transit in those cities overwhelmingly say that this is a tremendous benefit for the transit experience.
And Chris, you wanted to jump in there?
Sure. I just want to throw out a fact from a member survey that we did last year where, again, these are just our annual members, the folks who are paying $75 a year. They're reporting saving on average $800 a year from either their automobile costs or their transit costs by taking bike share.
All right. Well, thanks again, Harry. We have a caller who needs to leave soon, so why don't we try to fit in Betsy before we go to break. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. Thanks a lot. I'm really excited about this, and I think that anything that can get people out of cars and out of fossil fuel vehicles and onto the streets in a different way is just fabulous. I have a question. I was in Seattle recently, and they've got, of course, Zipcar and CarShare and, you know, all that stuff, but they've got one more that I'd never run into before. It's called Car2Go. And the difference is that you can leave the car anywhere and pick it up anywhere within legal parking requirements, but there's not like a stable where you go to get the car. And it's all done computerized so that you can go online and see where there's a car in your neighborhood, pick it up, use it with your little pass card, leave it in a legal parking place elsewhere in the city, wherever you want to leave it, and it'll go up on the web so that another person can look and say, oh, I need a car. So it's really neat, and I'm wondering if that model could work for bicycles longer term.
All right. Well, we'll get to that question right after a short break. Today on Your Call, we are talking about the bike sharing program, which is going into effect in August. San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? What questions do you have? It's Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Programming on KALW is supported in part by An Evening with David Sedaris in celebration of his newest title, Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. Sedaris will visit San Francisco's War Memorial Opera House Sunday, May 5th for an evening of all new readings and recollections. Tickets and information at davidsedarisontour.com. Your call is always better when listeners join us on the phone. If you have a question, idea, or comment to contribute to today's conversation, the number to call is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. You can also send email to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We will continue our coverage of the 10-year anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq by talking about how the media reflected on their coverage in the lead-up to the invasion this week. What struck you about the coverage you heard and read this week? We'll also discuss coverage of President Obama's trip to Israel and the West Bank. That's tomorrow. And then on Monday, we'll have a conversation about the documentary A Fierce Green Fire. It's now out in theaters. It's the first big-picture exploration of the environmental movement, grassroots and global activism spanning 50 years from conservation to climate change. So try to see the film in the next couple days and then join us on Monday. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we are talking about bike sharing. A bike sharing program is launching in August in San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View. That means you'll be able to borrow and return bikes at kiosks in different locations in those cities. This is a $7 million pilot program. It'll start with 700 bikes at 70 stations. And if you have any questions or comments about this program, what are your thoughts on this? How do you think it'll change the way we interact with public transportation and bikes and just getting around the city? And if you've ever taken part in one of these programs, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Kit Hodge, Deputy Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, Heath Maddox, Senior Planner in the Livable Street Subdivision of the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, and Chris Holbin, Bike Share Program Manager for Washington, D.C.'s Department of Transportation. They kicked off this program in 2008, formally launched in 2010. They've got almost 200 stations and 3.7 million rides so far. So let's first off take Betsy's question about the Car2Go program she saw in Seattle allowed you to pick up a car and drop it off anywhere. Do you foresee that ever happening in the Bay Area, Kit, a similar program with bikes?
Well, that is what bike share is in this case, just to be very clear. So the program is intended that you can actually pick up a bike at a station and then dropping off at a different station. There are different models that allow you to have this kind of system that isn't tethered to stations, but the program that San Francisco and the Bay Area is moving forward with right now has a station model.
Anyone else on this?
I mean, in 2004, I was in Frankfurt, and one of the early models of bike sharing to come out of Germany was called Call-a-Bike, and it didn't use any fixed stations, and people used cell phones to access the bicycles, and you could just lock up the bike anywhere you wanted and then text the dispatcher where the bike was. We don't think that system would work very well in the United States, and especially in San Francisco. We actually want to control where the bikes are locked up. We don't want them locked up willy-nilly.
We have a number of emails and comments. One web comment is, how is the system going to manage regional demand throughout the day? If it gets used by commuters, there's always an issue with high demand towards the residential areas at 8 a.m. And then around 9 a.m., there's zero parking available near the large employment centers. Also, on weekends, there might be extra demand for parking near Golden Gate Park, Ocean Beach, et cetera. Chris, how did you deal with this, or how do you deal with this in D.C.?
Sure. So we have an operator, Alta Bicycle Share, which I believe is the same operator that will be operating the system in the San Francisco area. And they basically move bikes around. When a station is full, they have a performance standard where they have to empty out half of those spaces and take the bikes back to an empty station. The best answer, though, is to make that station bigger or to install more stations in the vicinity where the need is, and just increasing the capacity.
And we have another question that I think you would probably be able to take based on your experience from Pablito, who says, I love the bike sharing program idea. I fully support promoting more biking. I've been biking in San Francisco for 15 years. One of your guests mentioned biking has exploded in the city. With that explosion, I've noticed a great deal of careless riding, bikers blowing through stoplights with headphones during peak traffic, bikers not signaling, and so on. Maybe these programs always existed, but the volume of bikers magnifies these issues. How have other cities managed these issues of new bikers negotiating car and bike traffic rules and etiquette? Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. It is a concern for here and every other major city where there's increase in cycling. And we do a number of safety campaigns to get that word out, but still you see people running red lights or stop signs. What we have found with the bike share bikes, and mainly because they're a bit slower, clunkier, and heavier than a typical bike, and this gets back to some of the safety features of it, people aren't doing risky behavior on our bike as darting through traffic and things like that. So they're actually following the rules of the road more by the design of the bike than they are perhaps of their own moral sense of sensibility.
Right, because earlier you said that bike share riders are actually safer than other riders.
That's what the data shows, is that they're getting in fewer crashes than regular riders.
And Kit or Heath, how is San Francisco talking about, or these cities talking about this, how to deal with the extra bikes that we're going to have on the road once this project launches?
Well, certainly. I mean, the pace of bikeway construction in San Francisco has never been so fast, and so we're rolling out new facilities and new types of facilities that feel safer and really do have a safer record for people to ride on. We also, the Bike Coalition is great about doing safe biking classes that we contract with them to do, and we will continue doing that, and we will market that with our members, and we'll continue to do and really bump up the kinds of outreach efforts that the safety campaigns that Chris is doing in the capital area.
All right. Well, thank you for the emails and web comments, and let's go back to the phones and hear from Adrian in San Francisco. Hi, Adrian. Welcome to the show.
Sure. I'm so glad to have a chance to talk about this. This last Monday, I was at the Save Polk Street gathering because the plan was to empty out parking on Polk Street and make it available primarily as a freeway for bicycles. And I was in Paris the first time I saw the bike share thing and was amazed that they took a street as big as, say, Van Ness, cleared out the right lane, and made it available for buses and bicycles. And I thought, wow, that sounds really dangerous. But what it worked like clockwork, and part of it is because buses are more, you can expect what a bus is going to do as opposed to an individual car, and so there was much more flow of traffic, bicycles and buses in the right lane, cars in the middle left too.
Hmm. All right, thank you. Heath, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not really sure the question.
I think she just liked the program, but we're not going to have something like that here anytime soon.
A cycle track on Van Ness? No.
Yeah.
We will have BRT, Bus Rapid Transit, on Van Ness, though.
Right. Okay. And then we have a sort of a similar question about Don. Where are these bikes going to be put on the sidewalk? What is this going to look like exactly?
So in San Francisco, with the exception of Market Street, really, in the service area, the sidewalks are pretty narrow. And so most of the stations will be actually going in the parking lane of the roadway. Some of them will be going on the sidewalk or in plazas where space is available. But obviously in a really busy downtown like San Francisco, pedestrian traffic takes priority, absolute priority.
And you can see photos of what this looks like at our website, yourcallradio.org. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the email, Don. And let's hear from Rose in Oakland. Hi, Rose. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was just wondering if there were any plans about maybe expanding the program to the East Bay or to Oakland or Berkeley area.
All right. Heath or Kit, can you take that?
Sure. Right now, the initial pilot does not include the East Bay, but we know there's tremendous interest from the East Bay in doing so, from residents, from different city leadership. So we definitely are supporting efforts to sort of continue that conversation and see how we can move forward as fast as possible to expanding in the East Bay as well as in San Francisco and in the South Bay. There's just tremendous demand in many locations for a much bigger bike share system.
What does it take to get a bike share program in your area?
Well, right now there isn't a clear mechanism for that. So I think it's going to be a lot of different kinds of conversations. Right now the Air District is running the pilot program, and so conversations are focused there. But we're hearing lots of different interests, including a resolution from Supervisor Scott Wiener in San Francisco at the Board of Supervisors, calling for the launch of a full-scale bike share system in San Francisco in 2014, and also moving to the region quickly beyond that. So I think there's a lot of interest. That conversation needs to come together towards a focused sort of joint vision.
And it's probably safe to say that a lot of eyes are on the Bay Area to see how this goes. And then bike advocates can say, you know, look what's happened in the Bay Area. Why don't we bring this to our section of the state?
Mm-hmm. Rosa, maybe I could just explain a little bit about the regional pilot. You know, that's why the Air District is involved here, and that's why the Metropolitan Transportation Commission funded this. It's not to do a bike sharing system in San Francisco. It's really to test the feasibility of bike sharing in the region in a variety of cities, a variety of different densities and sizes. And there will be an evaluation, and all eyes are definitely on the peninsula right now to see what works. I don't think there's really much doubt that this can and will work on a large scale. In a city like San Francisco, there are too many other precedents elsewhere for it not to work. The question is, will it work in Redwood City or Mountain View? Or I think it could work very well in Palo Alto or San Jose. And the Air District Board consists of elected policymakers from all around the Bay Area. And I know that Alameda County wants this yesterday.
Well, and the Chronicle had a piece about this and quoted Simon Matthew, a 27-year-old San Franciscan who once lived in Montreal, where this program is up and running. And he said, it was a very useful service. When I signed up, I thought I would use it maybe twice a week, but I ended up using it 6 or 7 times a week. And that was in Montreal, where the bike season is 8 months out of the year. So he says, I'm sure it would work here. And thank you for the email. And if you're just joining us, today we are talking about bike sharing. And this program is coming to San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View starting in August. If you're in these towns, you can borrow and return bikes at kiosks. The Bay Area Quality Management District will implement the $7 million project program, starting with 700 bikes at 70 stations. You sign up for a membership for as much as a year or as little as a day. You get a special key that unlocks the bikes parked at the kiosks. You ride the bike to your destination and then lock it up again at the nearest kiosk. The first 30 minutes of any ride is free. And if you have any questions about this, if you've taken part in a bike sharing program in Europe or DC, Boston, Minneapolis, or Denver, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website. And today we're joined by Kit Hodge, Deputy Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, Heath Maddox, Senior Planner in the Livable Street Subdivision of San Francisco MTA. Chris Holben is Bike Share Program Manager for Washington, D.C.'s Department of Transportation. They have had this program in the works since 2008, and they've already have had 3.7 million rides. And let's go next to Brenda in San Francisco. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I want to share some experiences that go back 40 years. I'm almost 65 now, but in my 20s, I lived in Amsterdam. And if people are familiar with the program there, Amsterdam is a biking town. Cars really don't work very well there. And I used the system, and originally I had my own bike, but it got stolen. And when I reported it to the police, and this is perhaps a Dutch attitude, they looked at me and they said, well, steal another one. I think that may have been part of their approach to bike sharing. But I used the system, and Amsterdam lends itself beautifully to bike sharing. People in their 90s bike around Amsterdam, and I intended to grow old and do the same thing, but when I came back from Europe and moved to San Francisco, and I looked around the biking scene here, I decided to give up my bike. I would love hearing that the program is coming back into play. I have some reservations about it, given how difficult it is, now that I'm a driver in San Francisco, how difficult it is to share the road with bikers here. I'm very sensitive to bikers because of my experience, but I find that bikers really don't play by the rules of the road here and makes it very dangerous for everyone. So I'm at 65. I'd like to be perhaps one of your older participants here. I'm willing to give it a try to see if it works. So I will keep my eyes and ears open to see how the program goes forth.
Oh, Brenda, you must have had such an amazing experience in Amsterdam. Lucky you. But what would make you change your mind? What would make you try the program?
I have some concerns about how the bike lanes are set out, and this is from the perspective as a driver. I'm a very careful driver. I'm a city driver. I think I'm a good driver, and I have come in recent days. I've come very close to knocking over bikers where I can't see them in my blind spot, or they're not in the bike lane, or they're double riding in the bike lanes, which I think is extremely dangerous. So I can put myself in the place of being a biker. I still have my bike in the garage. I just don't use it because I think, personally, it's too risky for me to be on the roads, given that drivers have almost a built-in animosity toward bikers. It's almost like, there's a biker. Let me aim for them or scare them. So from that perspective, I no longer bike. I take my bike out to the country roads where it's safer for me. From both perspectives, I think there needs to be training. I really think it comes down to biking education about how to share the roads with cars. But also, I have a major concern about how the bike lanes are set up and how badly designed they are. You combine that with lack of biking education leads to what I consider very dangerous situations.
Well, thanks for expressing your concerns. Let's get Kit Hodge to respond. What are your thoughts, Kit?
Sure. You know, it's great to hear your perspective, and it's great to hear your story, and I do hope that you do try BikeShare once it launches. We actually teach about 1,200 adults every year about bike education. That includes both in the classroom and on the road, talking about safe riding, respectful riding practices. We actually have classes tailored just to mature adults. So if you're interested, I definitely encourage you to sign up for those classes at sfbike.org/edu. But we also recognize that your point about the importance of both education and also infrastructure is really important, and we are big advocates for creating more kinds of infrastructure like you rode on in Amsterdam. So separated bikeways, bikeways that allow people of all ages, whether you're a senior, whether you're a young child, to ride comfortably and safely, and wherever on the street, whether you're driving or walking or biking, feels comfortable and safe sharing the street together.
All right. Well, thank you again so much for calling in, Brenda, and sharing your experience. Let's go next to Raul in San Francisco. Hi, Raul.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, no, I'm a native San Franciscan. I've been riding my bike since I was 16 here in the city. I think this is an amazing program. I actually was able to be in a program in Mexico City where they did the same kind of thing, bike kiosks everywhere. And one really cool thing that I saw was that they had a special pricing for tourists. So when tourists would come, they could use the bikes as well. Is there going to be is this going to be more accessible for tourists as well, so that way we could get maybe some revenue for tourists? Will there be different pricing, like day pricing?
Well, it's funny. I haven't used the system in Mexico City, but my understanding was it was actually only available to residents, and it wasn't available to anybody from outside, so that could have changed. But the answer is that, yes, we will have a day membership here, and that's not just targeted tourists, it's targeted for anybody who just wants to doesn't feel like paying $75, $80 on something they've never tried before. But one thing that we may investigate doing is actually having a higher sort of schedule of fees for day use members, because a lot of the revenue from these systems is actually coming from day use members, we would sort of it wouldn't be cheaper for tourists, but potentially more costly.
And how much would it be for a day use?
Between $5 and $7. I'm not sure what it is in D.C. right now, but it's nominal. If you pay that amount, and I think when I talk about a different schedule's fee for tourists, I don't mean that the day use membership would cost more. Simply that if it's the overage fees. So if you have a day use member and you were to go over 30 minutes, you might pay more for that second 30 minutes than an annual member would.
Mm-hmm. I think I was in Santa Monica recently and rented a bike for a day. I think it was something like $25.
Yeah, I think a bike rental here in San Francisco costs about in the neighborhood of $30 a day.
Right. And then the insurance, if something happens to it. Chris, what are the fees in D.C.? Are they similar?
Sure. So Heath is correct. We actually started our daily rate at $5 and then within 2 years raised it to $7. And then as well as raised those usage fees, the half-hour rates after the first free period, from $1.50 to $2 and kept our annual member rates the same. So the folks who live here still paid the same amount, and then the tourists or the visitors were paying the increased amount and don't seem to have a problem with that. I'll also mention that you keep mentioning the 3.7 million rides. We've had over 250,000 visitors use the bikes also.
Mm. Well, and speaking of fees, is this a for-profit vendor in the Bay Area?
It is a for-profit vendor, but they are working on a fee-for-service basis right now. They're a contractor to the Air District, and so they're getting a pre-agreed-upon fee for their work.
And so we have a question about that from a listener who says, what's the role of public support? Are we subsidizing a service that people would already be ready to pay for? And if not, how do we make sure the benefits of this service are distributed equitably?
There are different models out there, but the model which we're pursuing and the model that many other cities have done, including D.C., is that public funds are used for the initial startup, the capital costs, and then the systems become self-supporting in the long term through a combination of user fees and memberships and potentially sponsorship. Chris can speak to this more, but my understanding is that they're looking for sponsors now, but the D.C. system has been basically self-supporting in the black from the model that I just described.
Chris?
That's correct. Last year, our operating costs were about $3 million, and we brought in, just from revenues of membership fees and usage fees, about $3.1 million. And that we're also investigating advertising on the stations or sponsorship, like a title sponsor. We haven't gotten there yet, but obviously as we expand the system into some of the lower dense neighborhoods, those stations won't be as lucrative as the ones that are on the National Mall.
All right. Well, thank you for the question. We have another question from Zach in Berkeley who says, I think a bike share program will be a huge success and have used similar services in other cities. Has anyone opposed the program? Specifically, there are many bike rental businesses in San Francisco, and I'm wondering if they've opposed it.
So we have spoken at length with the rental agencies, and I'll say quite frankly that they're very concerned. They have worked very hard over the last 10 or 15 years or more to build a strong industry here, and that they turned bicycling in San Francisco from something only a crazy person would do to something that everybody who comes here has to do. And so we've been working very closely with them, and they were concerned about the pilot not extending into the northern waterfront. And so as a nod to them, we agreed that we would keep the pilot out of the northern waterfront. We will see how things go, and we do intend to expand there.
So along the Embarcadero? Because that's where you see, it's amazing, actually. You see tourists with no helmets going over the bridge into Sausalito.
Right.
Along those curves.
Right. And that's what people do on rental bikes. They come here, they rent a bike, they ride across the bridge, and they take the ferry back from the Sausalito.
Right.
Nobody will do that on a bike share bike. First of all, the bikes are, as Chris mentioned, a little clunky. You wouldn't want to ride that far. Second of all, the pricing will discourage that. I'm not saying somebody won't do it, but they'll never do it again. And we will actively market people who want to take a longer ride. We will suggest that they go rent a bike from one of our friendly bicycle rental companies.
All right. Interesting question. Thank you. John has a question. Great idea. How will the bikes be kept in good shape? How are you dealing with keeping the bikes up in D.C., Chris?
So as Heath mentioned, we have the same contractor, and it's a fee for service. They have to meet certain performance standards for every bike, and they've been doing a great job. Alta Bicycle Share really has helped us here in D.C. Be a great example of how bike sharing can succeed, and a lot of that has to do with the maintenance they provide. One of the nice features of our system, and the same that you all will have, is if a bike is broken or if you have a flat tire or if your brake cables are loose, there's a button on the station that you push. It's a little red wrench that will light up and then lock the bike in place. It sends a message to the operator to come and pick up that bike for repair.
And so it'll work the same way, similar way here, Kit?
Yes, it's the same vendor, so the system will be the same.
All right, thank you. Tara writes in, I heard the question from Betsy regarding Car2Go's model applied to bike share. There is one bike share company, Social Bicycles, which uses docking stations but does not require them. Bikes are linked to social media and tracked by GPS, so you can see where bikes are available. It was just chosen as the operator in Tampa, Florida. Thank you for that. Socialbicycles.com. And we have a question from a listener who says, how will this affect private bike owners, especially when it comes to parking?
I'd be happy to talk about that.
Sure.
Sure. I think this is going to be ultimately a benefit to people who already are, you know, getting around with your own bike. It lets you sort of take your own bike when you want to do that, but also lets you do some additional trips that you might not be comfortable doing with your own bike. For example, little places where you don't feel like you have good, secure bike parking, which we know is a big issue for a lot of people. Or like me, if you have a big bike that's designed to get your children up and down hills, but is kind of a beast to get up and down out of your office building, you know, bike share is a great way to get around to meetings during the day, or at night for that matter, if you don't want to have to get your personal bike in and out of your office space. So ultimately, I think it's been great to have more people riding bikes in the city, creating a safer environment for everyone riding and also everyone on the street.
All right. Well, thank you for the email. We got so many emails today. Another one. The MTA is putting forth, is it $4.3 million? Is that about right? That's according to the Chronicle article.
No.
Oh, okay. Chronicle got it wrong. How much is the MTC putting?
Oh, MTC. Right. So the MTC grant, the initial grant of Bay Area Climate Initiatives grant is $4.3 million. That's
okay.
Correct.
And a listener wants to know, is this a loan? And will the city get this money back over time?
It's not a loan. It's a federal grant. It comes from the federal highway bill, a program called Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality. And our regional metropolitan planning organization sort of repackages this money and does a competitive grant program. And it's part of their Bay Area Climate Initiative program. So the idea here is to, and it's part of their innovative Bay Area Climate Initiative program. So it's to foster projects which show promise for reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Okay. So the Chronicle got it right. I got my letter wrong.
Okay.
And then Transit Agency. Agency's $1.3
million. The Bay Area Air Quality Management District has put in $1.4 million, I believe, of their own funding, which comes from vehicle license surcharges.
Okay. And so this program is going to launch in August. If you want to take part in the bike sharing program, you can start in August.
Right. We'll be rolling bikes out starting in July, but we'll be fully deployed by August, we expect.
Okay. Bikes in San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View. Kit Hodge is with the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Heath Maddox is with the San Francisco MTA. And Chris Holbin is bike share program manager for DC's Department of Transportation. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for joining us. Thanks for your many emails and phone calls. I'm Rose Aguilar. Here's what's coming up on Your Call tomorrow. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week will mark the 10-year anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq by talking about how the media are reflecting on their coverage in the lead-up to the invasion. We'll also discuss coverage of President Obama's trip to Israel and the West Bank. We'll be joined by The Guardian's Martin Chulov, The Nation's Robert Dreyfus, and independent journalist Sahar Issa joins us from Baghdad. Where did you see the best reporting this week? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.